chapter, 15th chapter of 1 Corinthians. And I want to start with these words in the 49th verse, verse number 49. And as we have borne the image of the earthy, which means we have been living the mortal, ordinary human life, as we have borne the image of the earthy, we shall also bear the image of the heavenly. And now, this I say, brethren, that flesh and blood cannot inherit the kingdom of God, neither doth corruption inherit incorruption. So this is leading us into what I want to talk about. There's a reason why we go to church. There's a reason why we testify. There's a reason why we preach and teach the Bible. And that's to point you to a better way than the way it was. Amen. Something that flesh cannot do, no matter how hard we try, God has provided something better for us that is able to enter into the kingdom of God. Amen. Something that is able to inherit all the blessings of God. And here's the part that I'm headed toward, verse 51. Behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep, but we shall all be changed. In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye, at the last trump, for the trumpet shall sound, and the dead shall be raised incorruptible. Everybody say incorruptible. And we shall be changed. Hallelujah. For this corruptible must put on incorruption, and this mortal must put on immortality. So when this corruptible shall have put on incorruption, and this mortal shall have put on immortality, then shall be brought to pass the saying that is written, death is swallowed up in victory. Hallelujah. O death, where is thy sting? O grave, where is thy victory? The sting of death is sin, and the strength of sin is the law. But thanks be to God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Therefore, my beloved brethren, be ye steadfast, unmovable, always abounding in the work of the Lord, for as much as you know that your labor is not in vain in the Lord. Let's praise Him, everybody. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Lord. Thank you, Lord. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. Amen. Thank you, Jesus. You may be seated. I want to talk about change. Change. There's a God that we serve who never changes. He's always the same. The Word declares that God never changes. But in our experience as human mortals, we realize that we do change. And we see things change around us. We go through changes in our lives. Sometimes things that we depended on change suddenly and they're not there anymore. But God never changes. He stays the same always. In what I just read, there are many beautiful things to be discovered. It's like digging for jewels or digging for gold. As you read the Word of God that you've read over and over and you've heard over and over, you can always find something precious that you haven't seen before. Perhaps many of us have seen these things, but others are just now discovering. And so the more we read the Word of God, even the same passages often, the more the possibility is that something else is yet to be discovered in that passage. And so maybe for you, this is all a rerun, but maybe for the one next to you, this is something brand new and exciting today. Hallelujah. Because as I was reading in the early part of the reading, that there is something we have to deal with here, and it's called humanity. It's the earthy. It's that which is bound by the limitations of of the human life existence, which we all are facing death at some point. We all are growing older. We all have things to deal with. Sometimes sickness comes. Sometimes circumstances come upon us that we don't know how to make it through those circumstances. And every once in a while, we have to change the way we do things, the way we think, the way we face the situation at hand. Sometimes things we have prepared for, maybe even in college or wherever we might have done the preparation, that prepared us to go a certain direction. Sometimes we have to change that direction because of circumstances. There have been many people in days gone by that have left college and didn't finish because of the need of the family back home, or the need of the family in some other country, and they had to get a job to help because of the situation at hand. When maybe they could have been a doctor or a lawyer or perhaps a school teacher or a banker or whatever that the college education would have equipped them with. But because they saw the need of doing something else that would take them away from their goal, they did what was necessary. Thus it changed their future. It changed what they would have been and what they would have accomplished to something else. Have nothing bad to say about that. Sometimes the most beautiful stories you can read in some of the books of biographies and things that others have written about people, some of the most touching stories of life are those stories where people had things going their way but sacrificed that in order to help somebody else. Jesus didn't have to come to this earth to save us. He was fine like it was before he was even born of a virgin. He was the Word of God. And the Word of God is forever settled in heaven. You can't change the Word of God because it is what it is. God made it unchangeable because the Word was with God and the Word is God. And that Word didn't have to come to this earth and become flesh and dwell among us and be persecuted and be brought to an open shame. But the reason the Word became flesh and dwelt among the people of the earth is because God loves people. God loves people. And God wanted to make a people for His name's sake, to be great, to be victorious, to be able to do exploits, and to be able to exercise faith and dominion. And through the power of what God gave us through Jesus Christ, all things are possible, regardless of what it may seem like. Anything can be accomplished. God can do anything. Just before the disciples went to the upper room and received the Holy Ghost, and the 120 that were there gathered together, Jesus had a conversation with those that were just about to see Him go away. And He said, I will not leave you comfortless. But He said, I'm going to give you, or I'm going to pray the Father that He give you another Comforter, which is the Holy Spirit, or the Holy Ghost. And you can get all mixed up in theology trying to figure all of this out. But once you realize that the Holy Ghost, the Holy Spirit, Jesus and God, Christ, and Alpha and Omega is all the same God and the same Word and the same Spirit, you've got 99% of your theology straightened out. Hallelujah. When you realize that the Holy Ghost is the same Spirit that overshadowed the Virgin and brought forth the same God that was the Word, that is God, you don't have to try to figure out who the Father is, who the Son is, who the Holy Ghost. Just always remember, God is. Hallelujah. He is the great I Am. He's the everlasting Father. He's the Prince of Peace. And the prophet Isaiah, concerning the Son of God, said you should call His name the everlasting Father and the mighty God. There's no problem with that as long as you realize that God is a Spirit and there's only one Spirit. And by one Spirit, we're all baptized into one body. And that body was sacrificed on a cross called Calvary. Amen. We're baptized into Jesus Christ. And He suffered and He died and He bled for us. When Jesus died on the cross, God did not change. But He provided change for us. Thank you, Lord. Jesus was the provision God supplied for the human race to help us go through a major change that would take us from defeat to victory. Hallelujah. But what I'm wanting to say today is, although we depend on God for most everything, and we have to depend on God for everything, He didn't leave us with nothing to do. Everybody say, He didn't leave me with nothing to do. If you didn't have anything to do, you wouldn't need a comforter. Because He did, you know, when you got Jesus in your life, then you should have, if there's nothing for you to do, you should have no more problems. You should have no more discomfort. You should have no more setbacks. No more trouble in your life. Nothing ever to complain about. He left us with things to do. On the day of Pentecost, when the people were gathered, hearing the noise, not understanding what was happening in that upper room, the question came, "Men and brethren, what shall we do? What shall we do?" In other places, Jesus talking to His disciples and those that had yielded to Him, often would ask the Lord, "What would you have me do? What would you have me do?" And when you do something, it's you doing something. One scripture says it like this, "Whatsoever you do, you do, in word or in deed, do all in the name of Jesus." There's a reason why we need to do some things in the name of Jesus, because we just don't have the power to get it done. You know, I don't have the power to do some things. But there are some things that we must do. When John the Baptist came preaching in the wilderness, he was a voice crying out in the wilderness, and he was saying, "Prepare ye, prepare you." And he was preaching change. He was telling people to change your ways. Change your ways. Look toward a greater future. There's one standing among you who's preferred before me, who's coming after me. He's higher than I am. He's mightier than I am. And I can only do so much, but I'm going to do what I can do, and you do what you can do until the greater appears. And then He shall baptize you with the Holy Ghost and with fire. And He has a fan in His hand, and He's going to thoroughly purge His floor, and He's going to, you know, He's going to sweep out that which shouldn't be. And He's going to gather that which He wants to keep. Amen. But He says, you have something to do. Prepare yourselves. Change your ways. We're dealing in society today with all kinds of people. Some people seem like they're hell-bent on going to hell. If you can understand that I'm not saying swear words now, I'm in the Word of God, but using some terminologies of the human race, because I think everybody knows what hell-bent means. It means you're so determined to have it your way, nothing's going to change it. If you want to go to hell, you're going to hell. Or if you want to go to Pontiac, Michigan, you're going to Pontiac, Michigan. Nothing's going to stop you. No lack of finances. You'll get there, whatever it takes. And some boyfriend, girlfriend situations are like that. You know, "Oh, honey, I'll be there no matter what." And some people can make big trips and do great things because of how they care about each other and relationships. God requires us to do some things in order to be able to really to be saved. Now, He's the one that does the saving. He's the one that does the keeping. He's the one that does the making all things possible that we can enter in through the pearly gate. But don't think that you're going to be able to go there without dealing with this immortality or this mortality that we have to deal with. You see, the Word said the sting of death is sin. The wages of sin is death. There's more to the sting of death being sin than just what happens at the cemetery. It's the life you live. Every time that we find ourselves living in sin, we're living in the sting of death. Amen. It's just like every time you have a pain, you have something that's telling you that something is wrong. And you may find out that your pain is actually cancer, or, you know, it's something showing you that you have a need, then you go get checked out, and it turns out that you've got cancer. Or you may have a heart condition where if you don't get something done now, you won't be here next week because of the pain in your chest. It's telling you something. Something's not right. And when you're in sin, when you're living in sin, no matter if you're an atheist or whatever you may call yourself, anything you want to call yourself, you're a human being. And that puts us all in a common place together. We've got something in common with each other. We're all human. So regardless of what religion or non-religion you might be part of, when you're a sinner, there's a sting in your life. And it's taking you downward. And you can see the results of sinful living on the faces of sinners. Some people that can't leave the bottle alone, you can watch them age quickly. Some people are older at the age of 45 than others are at 65 because of alcoholism and drug addiction. And you can see how it takes a toll because of the sinful living. Not that the things, not that the drugs in themselves are sin or that the alcohol in itself is sin. Like I said before, liquid in a bottle cannot do anything to anybody if you won't drink it. But if the sin comes in, when we reach out for things to satisfy a longing in our soul, God made every human being long for something. That longing is something that's meant to attach to a drawing. God said, if I be lifted up through Jesus Christ, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all men unto me. The original is just, I will draw all unto me. In other words, all humanity is being drawn as a result of Jesus being lifted up and placed on a cross, lifted up from the earth. He said, if I be lifted up from the earth, I will draw all of you unto me. And he placed inside of each one of us something that should be easy to draw. That's a longing for something better. Amen. And while that longing is there, many who don't understand try to fulfill that longing by sinful living. Try to satisfy that longing in your soul by trying this and trying that. Everybody else is doing it. And so people get involved in doing things. And sometimes after years of doing things over and over, it's hard to change. It's difficult to change. But I have to tell you today, according to the Word of God, in order to be able to truly be saved and to truly go to heaven and to live a victorious life, you are going to have to change your ways. Hallelujah. You're going to have to change the way you think. You can sit back and say, well, God will do that. No, He won't. He leaves that part up to you. You're going to have to change the way you've always been to something different. You might have thought you had the world by the tail and you're sitting on a rainbow, and you might have felt like you had everything under control. But there comes a time in your life because of the circumstances that are presented by the Word of God that in order to please God, you have to change your ways. But when you change your ways, you won't necessarily make it to heaven. When you change your ways, you're not necessarily saved. Then what am I? Well, you're changed. Hallelujah. When you change yourself, you haven't saved yourselves, but you have obeyed God in doing what's necessary to turn yourself to a new and living way. When you change your ways, no longer do you depend on the things you once depended on to satisfy that longing in your soul. When you change your ways to try to satisfy the Word of God, the need to follow the Word of God in your life, You no longer do many of the things you once thought that were appropriate because everybody else is doing it. Everybody else is trying it. Everybody else is living like this. Amen. There are just some things that don't change. The principles of God are always the same. What God requires and what God sees is what He approves of will never change. And what has always been an abomination to God is still an abomination to God. But you cannot figure it all out if you try to do it just with your own thinking. But what you can do is find yourself involved in living, and in that longing that you've got and that drawing that's provided, surrender your will to the will of God. That means there might be a time when you would be doing something else that you're going to have to take some time to pray. Hallelujah. In praying, things get done. Spirits get broken. Amen. The old stubborn streak that you had, it has to be dealt with sometimes. The way you've always been suddenly finds itself being crucified with Him. The way that you always had to have your way starts changing into, oh God, have your way. Let not my will, but let your will be done in my life. As you pray, things just melt out of your life, and God is able to take those melted parts and mold them together and present you as something that is holy and presentable unto Him as a result of prayer. That could never happen to you unless you take some time to talk to the one that can fix it for you. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So one of the things we have to learn to do is to stop living a life of no prayer and start praying. That's a change that you have to make. When God requires you to repent of your sins, He's not going to repent for you. But He gives you the ability to be able to use that tool to come to Him. He provided repentance as a gift for mankind, so that when you find yourself trapped in the sting of death, not knowing how to get out of the mess you're in, you can repent. What repentance is changing your ways. Changing your direction. Turning loose the way it's always been and surrendering to the way God wants it. That's repentance. Amen. He says to us, you have something to do. All mortality has something to do. Repent. Thank you, Jesus. Repent. Change your ways. Change your views. Change your way of thinking. Change the way you've always lived. Repent. Hallelujah. This is the Word of God today. Repent. And you can sit back and say, well, God can take care of all that for me. But He won't. You can say anything you want to, but God's Word is settled. The repentance part is something you have to do. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. See, we have people come and go all the time because they can't get settled. They can't get settled. They've always been unsettled. There may be some legitimate reasons why. It might have been a terrible thing that happened in the past, or something that was handed down to them, or something that caused them to be disturbed, or maybe mentally unstable, or maybe somehow trying to make it on their own, always coming up against the brick wall, not knowing what to do. There might be a lot of legitimate reasons, not just excuses, but legitimate reasons why things are in the mess they're in. But God has provided something for all mankind, no matter what the mess is. And that's the ability to do something yourself. If you can't do any more except just turn a little bit, that's something you're doing. Praise God. If you can't do any more except just take a slight, small step, that's something you're doing. Hallelujah. He says, whosoever will, that's everybody, anybody, whosoever will may come unto me. You can come unto me and I will give you rest. That's what Jesus says. But the one that has to do the coming is you. You have to take the steps. You have to turn in the right direction. You have to open up your heart and start receiving something from God rather than all your neighbors and your friends and all your loved ones and all the people that you've always hung out with. You have to start receiving from God. And they may not like it. They may not like the way you've changed. You're not like you used to be. What's wrong with you? Why don't you go out and hang out with me anymore? The truth of the matter, when you start changing in the favor of what God approves of, you start withdrawing from some things that God does not approve of. And if your friends are still there, it appears that you've turned against your friends. But just because it appears that you've turned against them doesn't necessarily mean you have. All it means is you turn toward God. And they may not have turned as yet. And when you start turning toward God, you're doing something. You're changing. And they're not going to recognize you anymore. You're not going to be the same. There's something at just believing in God, believing in Christ, that changes a life. When you start believing that He's there, Jesus came and He lived and He died. He was brought to an open shame. He was crucified, placed in a tomb. You start believing this stuff. And He rose again, victorious over death, hell, and the grave. When you start believing this, something happens to you. Something happens to you. A change comes about in your life. Amen. Just knowing that Jesus loved you enough to give His life for you, to pay the ransom, to let you be free to make a good choice and have His backing as you start making those choices. There's some choices that we can only make in light of the fact that Jesus died for our sins. If it hadn't been for the cross and what Jesus did, there's no hope. There's nothing we could do. We'd be miserable creatures. It would be a chaotic life to live, but no hope in God, no hope in Christ, no way to have anything to look forward to. We would be as human being animals, like dogs upon the face of the earth, living in hopelessness, with no hereafter to look forward to, nothing good to look forward to. But in Christ, change from mortality to immortality is possible. Change from the corruptible to the incorruptible is possible in Christ. Change from the sting of sin to the comfort of the Holy Spirit is possible. But you got to do something. You got to do something. You can't just sit there and let it happen. Those people on the day of Pentecost, when they were sitting in the upper room, when the Holy Ghost filled all the places they were sitting, it wasn't because they were just sitting there. It had been because they had been trying to follow Jesus. They'd been listening to the teaching of Jesus. They had witnessed the resurrection power of Jesus. They knew He had died, but now He is alive again. They were willing to follow His commandment. They were willing to do whatever He said do. And when they were sitting in that upper room, they had done some things. They had changed their ways. They had decided, I will follow Him. I will live for Him. And if you expect to make it, you're going to have to do the same thing. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Change. Hallelujah. This doctrine that says there's nothing for you to do, God did it all at Calvary, is a misunderstanding. He did it all at Calvary, but what all He did at Calvary was provide for your ability to do what He requires you to do. Hallelujah. Look, there's no reason for me to preach unless I'm preaching to somebody that needs to do something. Why preach if there's nothing for you to do? I could save my breath. But God said He chose through the foolishness of preaching to save those that believe. So you can be a believer and still be unsaved. But you can hear the preaching and find out what you must do. What you must do. If you believe on Him, then you should listen to His Word. If you believe on Him, you should respond to His Word. If you believe on Him, you should expect Him to do what He says according to His Word as you do what you're required to do according to His Word. Praise Him, everybody. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. We shall be changed. It's a sermon that we can preach and shout about. We shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. It's something we can rejoice about. I wrote a song about it. I heard some people singing it the other day from another place in Indiana. They had learned it years ago right after I wrote it and sent me a message. We're still singing your song. It was a delight to hear them sing, "We shall be changed." In a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. After 30 years, that church is still in Indiana singing my song. It felt good to hear them sing that song. It seemed nice. I was blessed. But the song came from yielding to God in prayer. As I was preaching a revival there in Indiana, as I was sitting there meditating on the Lord, and that came to me. We shall be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. We shall be changed to meet Jesus in the sky. Amen. We shall be changed. Praise God. And we rejoice. Oh, that's shouting words. That's praising words. That's dancing before God words. Those are words of victory. We shall be changed. But then we need to consider again, who is the we here? Who is the we? These are people who responded to the Word of God. These are people who got up and said, I've got to change the way I've been. I got to stop doing some things. I got to quit being the way I've always been. I got to make myself pure somehow. How am I going to do it? Believe on the Lord, receive Him, do what His Word says, repent, get baptized, and then He will see you as a house to move into, as a tabernacle to dwell in. He's not going to come into your life and save you in your sins. But as you respond to His words, He will empower you to get sin out of your life and make room for Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. He said to His followers, you shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon you. Now, before He said that to them, they were doing some things. They were making choices. They were dropping what they were doing and follow Him. They would stop their whatever it was that would hinder them from being able to follow Him. And they were changing their lifestyles. They were changing the way they've always been. Amen. And confessing that they were sinners. Praise God. That's who the we is. We shall be changed. We who have decided to follow Him. We who have believed the report. We who have heard the Word of God. We who have decided to depend on that which never changes, knowing that we do nothing but change all the time. Everything we do ends up making a mess sometimes. There are days when it doesn't matter what it is. If I touch something, it falls. If I take a step, I step on something. Amen. I try to walk straight and I stumble. I run into things. I take a shower and something falls from the shelf to my toe. You know, crazy things happen. I put wires across the floor to hook up something and I get up to go eat and I trip on the wire. Get in my car to go somewhere and have to move a bunch of stuff because I was planning on getting that garbage out last time I drove it. So I just left it where I sat because I was planning on taking it out, but I got in a hurry to leave the car and I left the garbage in the car. And I sat on the garbage and I stained my clothes because I forgot it was there. I know none of you have ever lived like this. Go to get dressed for church and everything is what I meant to wash last week. It's still in the same pile. Oh my. Got a trip to make and I forgot to do something. Forgot to put the checks in the bank, and I've got to pay the airliner. I can't do it because I'm holding the checks for 3 days. And now what? I'm in a mess. And you name it, and I can claim it. I've done it. Been there. Wear the T-shirt. Take a shirt out of the pile of clean ones I still have left, put it on, wear it all day. Somebody walks into the church and said, I didn't know you went to the Mohegan Sun. I didn't even know I had my seat Mohegan Sun written on it. Somebody gave me some clothes. I just wear what's clean. What a witness I am, huh? Praise God. I'm a human being. Things fall apart. Things go nuts around me. Things are not right sometimes. Sometimes I don't think right. Sometimes I don't talk right. Sometimes I don't act right. But I don't think I'm by myself. Praise God. How many of you can say that I think I've had some of those problems too? Praise God. I'm glad I'm not by myself. I'd be asking you, what must I do? What shall I do? Thank you, Lord. But God has provided something better for us than having to do it all by ourselves. Thank you, Jesus. But He gave us some things to do, and He made it so that it's easy for us. Although it seems very difficult, we have, like I said, people that come and then they leave, and we don't see them sometimes for years. And when they come back years later, they're just like they were when they left. Can't walk a straight line. Can't do anything. You know, we've had probably 1,000 or more promise to come to church here that didn't do what they said they would do. Promise, I'll see you Sunday. I'll be there in the next service. You know, but whether you lie to me or don't lie to me, it's kind of beside the point of what I'm trying to say. That's just a symptom of something else that's wrong. Amen. The inability to do what it is that your heart is beckoning you to do, what your soul is longing for, settles for that which is not able to satisfy. We've had many people who started the church sober and came in drunk, because they were longing for something, but they couldn't pass the bar room on the way to the church. If you could only bypass the way you've always been and stop doing what you've always done, sober up, change the way you are, you will find a steadfastness and a stability that you can live that can only come through surrender to God. Any homeless person on this street can become a hard-working family person, amen, with the ability to take care of themselves if they will change. You don't have to live on handouts all the time. Put your hand forth and do some things. Hallelujah. Praise the Lord with me. Every person about to commit crime today that will end up in jail or prison before they get through with all this. The ones who are still free out there, getting ready to do the bad things they're about to do. There's a penalty with sin. There's a penalty with breaking the law. But if you will stop right now and change your mind, don't rob that bank. Don't molest that lady. Don't do what it is you're thinking about doing. Change your mind. But I've always done these things. Well, stop it. Life doesn't get any better. It gets worse. It goes downhill. You go from stink to stink. From hole to hole. From mess to mess. There's nothing that ends up right when you're a sinner. All the promises that are made to sinners are just promises by other sinners. And they can't really come through. They can't help you. Drinking won't help you. It makes you feel good for a moment. But an aspirin can make you feel good for a moment when you're dying. Hallelujah. You need something more than that which we have to comfort ourselves with. You need something more than that which drowns out our sorrows for a moment. We need something more than a temporary high. We need something more than just something that makes us feel good. Hallelujah! And God's not going to give it to you unless you try to receive it. God's not just going to pour His Spirit out on you in a way that you will receive it until you open up and receive it. The reason you're not walking in blessings today is because you haven't done anything about it. Thank you, Jesus. But when you do something, He does a lot. He already did a lot. But He didn't bring us forth just to make zombies out of us. You know, just I'm walking the straight and narrow. Turn to the right. Never turn to the left. But I need to go over there. Okay. I'm walking the straight and narrow. I'm commanded to turn to the right always. I am doing right all the time. I always do right. The only hand I ever raise is this hand. I'm having a problem with this foot because it's not right. See, if you leave it up to man to figure all this out, you'll get it all wrong. Don't I look silly? Ain't I acting silly? Everything you try to do to get right won't make you right. But when you follow the guidelines in the Word of God, change your ways. How do you do that? Turn from your wicked ways. Stop your sinful living. Quit thinking those trashy thoughts. Oh, my mind. How can I control my mind? Well, you may not be able to, but if you can try, I guarantee you I know somebody can help you. Hallelujah. Some people don't want to pray that they'll quit dreaming nasty dreams because they don't want to quit dreaming them. That's the only time I ever enjoy life. That's something better. Ain't nothing better except, you know, than when you dream about walking on a street of gold, seeing Jesus. Amen. Having fellowship with the people of God. You know what I dream about just about every night? I dream about my daddy. Almost every night. And he was such an interesting man. He had so much going on. I don't have time to dream about anything else. I want to start dreaming about him. I don't know what I dream about him, but we're always dreaming. He's always going somewhere with me. I dream about my daddy. We go somewhere. Almost all of our trips end up in a swamp or in some kind of a bad situation. We don't know what to do. Then I wake up and I don't know how it ended. So I go to sleep the next night and we take up where we left off. It's like a serial dream. I love being with my daddy in my dreams. He's there. A lot of times my grandpa Rooks is with us. You know, it just we go through storms. I don't know why. Maybe it's a gift of God because that's the way life has been. It's been a life of storms. It's been a life. I remember all those times when I was with my daddy. We were in boats and tornado overhead, and I was hanging on to a tree trying to save my life. And my daddy was yelling, "Son, hang on, hang on!" And my boat was straight up, and I was about to fall off the back of it. The wind was just blowing it back, and I held onto this tree, and trees were falling around me, and Dad was trying to get to me, and his boat went straight up, and he almost fell out. And so I said, "Hang on, Daddy!" And so he went back to the bank, and I was holding onto a tree, and it was falling apart, but I was holding on. Boat was filling up with water. Tornado cloud coming right on down on top of us. Hallelujah. Sometimes you get in a situation, a mess like that, there's nothing you can do except just hold on. And I had dreams that are similar to that sometimes. I guess it's because of all the experiences we had together. Praise God. I remember my dad was, I told this the other night, we were coming in from fishing together, and my brother-in-law, Dick Price, was with us, and we were in the boat coming toward land. But when we had launched out in that boat, there was a great big snake that we had to make it get out of the way so we could put our boat in the water right there at the landing. And so we got in the boat and we took off, but we kept talking about that snake all day. And so when we started back, Dad was standing up in the boat, getting ready to step out of the boat onto the land as we were just kind of, you know, just easing toward land after the motor had been turned off. And he saw that snake. That snake was there. And he forgot that he didn't think about the fact that his rod and reel with a hook on the end of it was lying there in the boat. When he started to step off, that hook grabbed him by the pants leg. And when he started to step, the hook stung him in the leg. And he saw the snake and he said, "Ah, a snake bit!" And every time he would jerk the leg, it would bite him again. Because that hook on the end of that rod, you know, "Oh, he's eating me up! Somebody do something, he's eating me up!" We were trying to tell him everything's all right, Dad. He's lying in the boat trying to kick the snake off, and every time he'd kick it, bite him. The snake was already gone, but he almost wrecked the boat. We almost fell out of the boat trying to save him. He ended up with bruises all over him. He wouldn't listen to us. "You're all right, no, he's eating me, he's biting me again." Some people just think they can't make it, and they already, right now, right before you, I'm trying to tell you, you're all right. You just need to do something. Shut up and let me tell you what to do. It's just a hook. It's not a real snake. You need to do something. Change. See, throughout earth, our life, we bear the earthy, which is what the Word said. And that which is earthy is earthy. But that which is spirit is spirit. This is the word of God. And the earth or the flesh cannot inherit the kingdom of God. But yet God has poured His Spirit out upon all flesh. So there's a reason why it's poured out upon all flesh. That's so that all flesh can come to the knowledge that there is hope for you to change. And there's a reason for you to change. Because on the other side of what you do in obedience to the Word of God, there is comfort, happiness, peace, love, and joy waiting for you. Nobody can give you that but God. And you might ask, you know, well, I thought Jesus paid the price at Calvary. He did it all. Please try to understand without being influenced by those who have been influenced wrong, that what He did at Calvary was provide the ability for you to change so that you can come to the knowledge of Him so He could change you in ways that you can't be changed by yourself. When going to heaven, you can't pull yourself up there by your own bootstraps. But in order to get ready to go to heaven, there has to be conditions made right in your life. I heard somebody just this week say, you know, if I have to do something, I'm not going to be saved. That's what I got to do. There ain't no way to do it. All they were doing is looking at some person, the way they were dressed, saying, if I have to dress like that, and it wasn't a bad way of dressing. It was just, you know, and I didn't tell them I had to dress or not dress anyway. It was just something on their mind. If I have to dress like that, I just won't be saved. That's silly. Hey, look. I'll wear pink Bermuda shorts if that's what it takes. Only thing, I don't think that's what it takes. I'll climb a tree and paint my head green if that's what it takes. I'll crawl to Alaska if that's what it takes. I'll wear pink and purple toe sacks on each leg if that's what it takes. And a paper bag over my face, if that's what it takes. With a little peephole to peep out in, if that's what it takes. But it doesn't take all that. Some people are trying to make rules for others to live by and say, this is what you got to do, this is what you got to do. But some of those things don't work. But it's right here in the Word of God. It's like a prescription. Only this is one you can read. You ever get those doctor's prescriptions? Look at it and say, I think they're trained to write that way. So you know, it's like, you know, they write it a certain way and the pharmacist recognizes who it's from. They know how to read it. But if you try to do it yourself, you can get in trouble more ways than one. But Jesus didn't write His word like that. He wrote it so easy. All you got to do is read it. And if you can't read it, then hear it. Faith comes by hearing. Hearing by the word of God. So what am I saying? As you hear it today, you need to do some things. Praise God. There's a lot of rejoicing going on even before you're ready for heaven. Just one sinner coming to repentance causes rejoicing in the presence of angels. That doesn't mean you're ready for heaven. It means you're coming to the point of recognizing you're a sinner. And you're changing. From that point on, God's going to do what it takes to make you ready for heaven as long as you continue to do what it takes to get you ready for God to do the work. And now there's that crowd out there that yells real loud and clear, and I can even hear it coming through the camera. You're talking about works. No, I'm not. I'm talking about God's provision. Obedience to God. That's not human works. Human works is what we've always done that got us in a mess. Now we're doing God's work. Repentance is God working in your life. Changing your ways is obedience to God. Doing what God tells you to do is what it takes. That's not works. Getting in the water, getting baptized in Jesus' name, that's not works. That's not human works. That's what God worked out. That's God's prescribed formula for you to get saved. Yeah. Hallelujah. That's not works. Lest any man should boast. It's not man's work. It's God's work. You can praise God for this work. Hallelujah. Change your ways. Well, this is the way I've always seen it. Stop right there. Crucify that thought. Because what did the way you've always seen it end up doing for you? Praise God. It's the way I've always done it. How about you not doing it that way anymore? Look at you. You ain't right. You're not living right. You can't live right. You can't be consistent. I don't know why I can't go to church regular. That's for a reason. It's not a mystery. It's because you're not changed. You haven't done anything to change the way you are. You've always been one that can't keep a job. Can't do anything faithfully. You can't stay with anything. You're always changing, blowing away with the wind. You can't stick with anything. That's the way a lot of people are in Norwich, Connecticut. They come to this church, but they can't stick with it. I baptize them. Next time I see them, they're drunk. That doesn't change God. It doesn't make His promise of none effect. Amen. You hear them testified, you think, man, this is going to be a soul winner. This is going to be somebody that's going to be last. And next time you hear from them, it'll be 3 years from now. And they're a loser. And what they're saying, yeah, I went to that church a long time ago, and they're advertising for us real good on a bar stool, telling everybody, this is what it did for me. No. That's what you did for you. We're still what we are. Door's still open. Everybody ever left here and got drunk, welcome to sober up and come back. Pray. And come back drunk if you can't sober up, and we'll help you get sobered up. We'll carry you out while you're drunk until you get sobered up and keep you invited to keep coming back. Give you a cup of coffee on your way out. Praise God. And come and get you and bring you back. But we can't change you no matter how many times we drag you into this door, drag you out. We can't change you. Let's worship the Lord. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. So let me come to a close now. Read my text again. Hallelujah. And you just pray that when I read it again, it won't start me out again. Because they say the ability to receive the Word of God can only last as long as the seed can endure. Amen. I don't think that's true, though. But it says right here, behold, I show you a mystery. We shall not all sleep. Now, I've heard it preached many times. That means, you know, we're not all going to die. We're not all going to go to the grave. The Word of God says in other places, it's appointed to man once to die. So I don't know how you put those two scriptures together and interpret it to mean one thing in one place and something else in another place. It has to mean the same thing no matter how it reads. We shall not all sleep. But we shall all be changed in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. Now, there is a death that God sees that you don't see. Every human being, as far as God is concerned, is walking around dead. And the only thing He recognizes as being alive is His salvation in your life. The Holy Spirit in your life, making you, quickening you, making you alive. That's what the word quickens talk all about in the Word of God. When He quickens you, He changes you from being, He raises you from death into being alive. He quickens your mortal body. He sees you, even though you're still a human being, He sees you as a live human being. Until the time that you are brought out of sin into victory, He sees you as being dead. Dead in the trespasses of sin. That's the Word of God. And you're appointed to come into this world and die. All right? I hope you get this. But when you are brought to life by the Lord Jesus Christ, that is a moment and a twinkling of an eye, great blessing in your life. Because just as quick as everything we imagine and think about concerning the future event, when we shall be changed and taken into heaven. Everything that happens and anything that God does is in a moment, in the twinkling of an eye. And this is even talking about when you decide, just a decision, I will follow Jesus. You wake up from the dead and you become alive. You're in the process of being born again. Don't let anything abort you before you're fully born. Don't get stuck in the womb. Hallelujah. Don't let any hindrance, don't let any relative, don't let anybody you know, anybody you work with or work for, stop you from being fully born. Hallelujah. You're not fully born just when you have made a decision to follow Christ. But you're on your way. Hallelujah. But if you don't get fully born, you'll be dead again. Or you'll be some kind of a crazy thing walking around. Can't do anything right and act right and can't talk right and can't think right. God wants you to be fully born. Hallelujah. When He sees you in your sins, no matter how you're doing on your career, in school, or in anything that you're doing, He sees you as dead. But at the same time He sees you as dead, He sees dead people as people who are dead with hope. If you will change your way. Amen. He wants to make you alive. And so when you come alive in Jesus, we still have to deal with the sting of death. It still comes back. It's like what we were still wants to be present all the time. You want to get past it, and here it comes again. The way you always thought tries to creep into your mind. The way you always felt tries to creep back upon your mortality. Amen. Because when God changes us in a moment and twinkling of an eye and makes us alive and leaves us on this earth to deal with earthly things, we still have things to deal with. But that's why we need the power that comes with the Holy Ghost. Because not just changing went about, but in a moment and twinkling of an eye, God brought us forth. And He gave us that comfort, which is the Holy Ghost. He gave us that power that He promised in the Holy Ghost. Now when the old tempter tries to bring us down or bring us back to the way it was, God steps in and says, not my child. You're not going to do that to my child. You're not going to do that to my child. He was your child, but He left you. He's my kid now. Praise God. And you got to deal with God to get this one, and I ain't giving Him up. Hallelujah. He puts a hedge about you where you love it because it's a protecting thing that God has provided. You don't see it, but it's there. When you would do wrong, you do right. When you have done wrong, you get right. That's not the way you used to live. It's different now. Everybody say it's different now. When you go astray, you come back. When you think you're giving up, you hold on. When you're going the wrong direction, you turn around. Hallelujah. That's what the Holy Ghost is doing. We've been changed in a moment, in a twinkling of an eye. I'm not like I used to be. I'm not doing what I used to do. I'm not acting like I used to act. And I'm not going where I used to go. I'm not interested in what I used to be interested in. And I don't love the world or the things of the world anymore. I love God and the things of God. And I'm existing in this old world. But when I get through, I'm going home. Praise the name of Jesus, everybody. Then we have something to look forward to. That death and hell cannot prevail over. You can go to the cemetery, but God sees you as only asleep in His presence. Only asleep in His presence. He's already resurrected you once. He can do it again. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Hallelujah. You'll be dancing on a tombstone with resurrection power. Some of you have already passed from death to life. We shall not all sleep, but we shall be changed. That's what Paul's talking about. We've all slept as far as the first death, the first Adam, that humanity which we were. We were dead. But now He's made us alive. Now we who have filled the appointment of death that was promised to Adam and all his descendants. When you sin, you shall surely die, God said. And every one of us came into this life, little babies that were innocent, and then we all died. We all died. And we had our careers, and we had all of our plans, and we did all these things. But God saw us as that which is dead, but yet still breathing. You might say, spiritually brain dead. But somewhere along the way, somebody said, I believe what I just heard. Ah, there's a little squirming of life going on. There's a little hope that maybe there's life about to happen. Amen. A cousin of mine fought in Vietnam. They sent him home in a body bag stacked on top of other body bags. And when he got home, he crawled out of the body bag. They thought he was dead. Amen. Hey, ain't nobody going to crawl out of a body bag in heaven. If you get there, it's not going to be because somebody thought you were dead. It's going to be because you were well alive. You might have been asleep for a while, but now you're alive and alive forevermore. Let's all stand together. Let's stand together. Praise God. Hallelujah. We shall be changed. In a moment, at the last trump, you got changed during the trump that you heard. Now let's get changed at the last trump. Yeah. Hallelujah. That's the God change. That's one God provides. All the other changes were up to you. You turn. You surrender. You obey. You follow. And He does the rest. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah. You think you could find We Shall Be Changed, Brother Arthur? Try to find that song. Let's all come up around the front. Kind of gather on each side so I can still have access to my audience that are watching from out there. Amen. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. Change. Thank you, Lord. There's some things that God asks us to do that we can do. He said, I won't put more on you than that which you're able. A lot of people, when they get all down and out and been out of shape because of sinful living, and they just can't seemingly make it, and they say, well, God promised He wouldn't put more on us than we're able to take. That ain't what He said. That which you're able. In other words, He put some requirements in your life that you're able to do. It's not something you can't do. Amen. We're all going to get sick. We're all going to have problems. But not everybody chooses to live right. A lot of people throw their hands over their ears. I don't want to hear this. Some just simply are too stubborn to follow. And they're not going to. They're just not going to. They're not going to have it. Praise God. But others, when they hear it, they've been hungry for it for a long time. Soul's been longing. They've tried everything, but now they see hope in Jesus. And He's still standing there drawing them. He's been drawing them all the time, and now they see that's what's been the problem. My soul has been longing for God. Oh, and your soul rejoices when you start changing your life in the presence of God. As He takes control, you hand yourself over to Him. Say, Lord, I've gone as far as I can go. I stopped my cussing, and I still slipped once in a while, but I tried to quit. I'm still trying. I stopped my smoking and drinking and all my bad ways of living, and I still slipped up once in a while, but I'm still trying. And He says, come unto Me. I'll give you the strength to make it. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Thank you, Jesus. Sing along with me on this song if you know the words. If you don't, just kind of hum along with me. Thank you, Jesus. Hallelujah, hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. We shall be changed in a moment, the twinkling of an eye. We shall be changed. We'll meet Jesus.
Jesus in the sky. Sorrows pass away. No more tears to dim our eyes. What a glorious day. A moment, the twinkling of an eye, we shall be changed. We'll meet Jesus in the sky. Sorrows pass away. No more tears to dim our eyes. What a glorious day when we are changed.
Amen. No more of these things that we've always had to deal with. No more sickness, no more pain. Amen. No more death. No more old age. No more feeble ways. No more having to deal with the devil. Amen. No more having frustration in your life. Sorrows and worry and fear and doubt. It's all going to be over with.
What a glorious day when we are changed. In a moment, the twinkling of an eye. Oh, hallelujah. All the days of my life, I will wait for my change to come. We'll be Jesus in the sky. Sorrows pass away. No more tears to dim our eyes. What a glorious day when we are changed. Hallelujah.
That old sting of death, sin that's been following us around will be dealt with once and for all. Hallelujah. As the prophet recorded, he'll be able to look at that which was stinging you and killing you and dragging you downward, and it will be as white as snow, because he'll only see you through the blood of Jesus. Amen. Cleansed and pure. He will see that which was hard in your life and rough, that which was attached to you, that which is like an ingredient that had become part of your life, like tin becomes a part of a precious metal. It has to be separated, and you can't separate it. Amen. I read a scripture that had that word tin, which is what that is. It's something that gets in you that you can't get it out unless it's melted. And God's able to take the tin out of your life and the sin out of your life. When we get to heaven, there won't be any more of that stuff attached to us or somehow just embedded within us. No more sorrow, no more sickness, no more death. Everybody sing.
What a glorious day when we are changed. What a glorious day, what a happy day, what a glad reunion day when we are changed.
Praise him, everybody. Hallelujah.
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah, Jesus.
Hallelujah.